All right, if you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. On this end of the year that we've gathered together. Isaiah 46, beginning at verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9. Isaiah says, Lord speaking, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Once again, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The title of this morning's message is Time, Friend or Foe? And to make an impact this morning, I was trying on all my watches. I love watches. I want to try to convince myself that I collect watches, but I don't really collect watches because I don't have enough money to collect watches. But when I do find one, or when I'm able to afford one, I'll grab it, and I just love them. And as you can tell, the bigger the better for me. I love big watches. And it's not that I'm hooked on time. I just like the way they work and what they look like. And when I go to Russia, I try to buy watches every time I go there because they're unique and they're neat. And I had three watches on one wrist and another watch on this right-hand wrist this morning. I couldn't get my sleeves to work right. So I came with this one watch to talk to you about time. God says in the book here, Isaiah, it's really, truly speaking about time. And time, is it a friend or foe in your life? He says, remember the former things of old. Well, I have no problem doing that. I'm always thinking about what's gone on in the past. But God here is encouraging us to remember. Go back and remember the things that are of old. And he says, really, remember this. For I am God and there is no other. Well, that's comforting. And we believe that's true. I am God and there is none like me. And verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning. And here's where we get into the message today. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Time. Is it our friend or is it our foe? And you come to the end of this year, and isn't it strange? The holidays are just great. We love what they stand for, but our bodies just can't keep up with it all. It's like, oh man, you know, we've had time off, but we're more tired now than what we would have been if we didn't have time off. Because we've been running around. Maybe wasting time, I don't know. Listen to this quote I read. This is so perfect. The busy man has time for everything. The man who just thinks he's busy hasn't time for anything. Man, that nailed my heart. The busy man has time for everything. Speaking that his life was ordered and he's able to accomplish much. But the man who just thinks he's busy hasn't time for anything. Wasting time, squandering time. Have you ever been there going 90 miles an hour and doing nothing? Kind of feel like that at this time of the year? Our brain is an amazing biological machine. It's incredible. It has been designed by God to meditate and to think about this time thing. Time is a bizarre power. Our brain, the way that it works, it's constantly, check this out, you, I, now, our brain is processing millions and millions of bits of information per second. And as we look right now, you're thinking, well, you know, I'm just kind of surviving this morning, just kind of going through here. Listen, your brain's working. You may feel numb, but your brain's taking millions of snapshots right now. And watch this. The guy sitting next to you, you smell his cologne. You smell her perfume. Your brain is recording that right now. Now you say, Jack, I wasn't thinking about it until you just said something about it. Well, boy, now you're working overtime, seriously. Your brain is storing that smell. This time, what you're seeing to this moment. God says, remember back. He's asking you to remember back His involvement in your life. I'm the only God there is. So all that's gone on in your life, you remember back. I'm in the middle of it all. And your brain has been designed, a marvelous biological machine, to be taking pictures both by sound, by smell, by sight. It's the way your brain works. And it's constantly assembling a montage. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Is that how we are today? Listen to this. Sight. How is your brain working? What does it mean in relation to this time question in the end of the year? Sight. The eye, under the control of the brain, captures the light and images within view, then sends that data to the brain for developing, and it is stored in your memory banks. Smell. The sensories pick up aromas that become attached to microparticles in the air and travel inside your nose, which then the data is sent to the brain and processed and stored in memory. Smell. Sight. Sound. Sound is transmitted vibrations through the air, water, or solids. That is like this podium. Your eardrum and the friends around your eardrum, the hammer, and all of the necessary nerve endings and all in the process, responds to the vibes and then sends the data to the brain to arrange the sounds and stored in memory. Everything is stored in memory. And every time you hear a sound, or you smell a smell, or you see a sight that has been stored, the more significant that event, the rerun comes back into your mind. It is brought back from memory. You know what I'm talking about? We all do. And that very event, smell, or thing will trigger your brain to release those fluids and cause that montage to flow in front of your head. Listen to this. Memory moments, I like to call them. It's a timeline in our mind. And watch how fast this works. Remember, no, you won't. Some of us old guys will. Remember Walter Cronkite in high school and junior high, the films You Are There? Remember those? Does anybody remember those? Raise your hand. Wow, what a bunch of old guys we are. Those were great. I don't even know if they use them in school anymore. And if they're not, they're making a big, big mistake. You Are There. Remember, he'd take you to the Civil War and he'd be interviewing a general. He would interview Abraham Lincoln. And it was done great. Walter Cronkite standing there in his suit. And they're in their Civil War attire. And he's interviewing them. What do you think's going on? Well, I think that we're going to... You Are There. Watch your brain immediately bring things back from recall now. Watch. Where were you when the space shuttle Challenger exploded in 1986? Remember where you were at? I remember where I was at. I remember exactly where I was at. Do you remember that? 1986. 1980. Do you remember this? Where were you when you heard that John Lennon was shot to death outside of his Manhattan apartment? I remember that. Do you remember this? When Mount St. Helens exploded? That was 1980. I remember where I was at. I remember this, probably one of the most vivid pictures in my mind. And the moment I mention it, you're going to know exactly where you were. I can tell you right now that I was going down the sloped walkway toward our 57 Plymouth Belvedere that's red and white, two-tone, with the punch transmission on the dashboard, with the Batman wings on the back of the car. Remember those? Looked like that car would go 1,000 miles an hour. I remember walking down that walkway, coming out of my kindergarten class, and my mother walking up to me crying, which was unusual, to pick me up. And she was crying. And that car was in front of me. And I wondered why my mom was crying. And she got down on her knee, and she looked at me, and she said, Jack, someone has just killed President Kennedy. You remember that in 1963? I remember exactly, and I was just a little guy. I remember that so clearly. How is it? Your brain throws that up onto the screen immediately, stored in memory. God has made you that way. Now, I'm really into this stuff. You may not remember this, but I remember exactly when Desert Storm began. I love that kind of stuff. I remember where I was sitting. I remember what the TV I was looking at to watch it. So do you. What about this? I remember my dad taking me out on the front lawn and having me look up, and I'm standing there, and we're looking at the moon. And my dad said, Jack, right now, there's a man walking on the moon. Neil Armstrong just set foot on the moon. You know, I'm standing there like, oh, big deal, you know. It's 1969. I remember that clearly. I remember this. Never forget it in my life. I remember where I was sitting. I remember who came up to me with shock on their face, and then we heard it over the intercom at work. March 30th, 1981. I was sitting down when someone announced to me, and then it came over the intercom at work, someone has just shot President Reagan. Remember that? Right outside the Washington Hilton in D.C. Remember this? I remember being called, as like many of you were, into the auditorium in junior high to pray for the Apollo 13 crew. Remember that? It's amazing. Powerful things. Pictures. How about this? Where were you in 1977 when John Travolta starred in Saturday Night Fever? Oh, Jack, don't bring that up. Mark Twain said, time is an education in eternity. It's a little glimpse. It's a little hint. Famous quotes about time. We're at the end of the year. What does it mean? What about the time that's gone by? What about now? What's going on? Famous quote from a person who had all power concerning time. The memorable words of Napoleon Bonaparte to his aide when he said, go, sir, gallop fast and remember, the world was created in 6 days. You can ask from me anything, but I cannot give you any more time. That's fantastic. That's a great statement. A man who had all power. What about a person, a famous quote from those who had all wealth? Listen to this. The last words of Queen Elizabeth I, the last words as she died. She said, all my possessions I'll give for one more moment of time. She had all wealth. Famous quote from a person who hasn't a clue about time. Mick Jagger said, time is on my side. Yes, it is. It's almost like when he said, time is on my side. Yes, it is. God says, no, it's not. He said, yes, it is. God says, no, it is not. And time, is it a friend or a foe in our lives? We need to realize that God is in, as we are believers and non-believers, God is working in time. First thing I want you to consider is the importance of time that has passed. God dwells in an area and in a realm where there's no time. Time is connected to the physical universe. God interrupts the physical universe. He's outside of it. Isaiah 46:10, we read it. It says that He's declaring the end from the beginning. He'll tell you in the very beginning, the Bible, what the end will be. Isn't that fantastic? When I became a Christian, one of the first things, in fact, Revelation 20:11 was the first verse I memorized as a brand new believer. Normal people memorize comforting verses, but I memorized that there's a great white throne in heaven and all these people are judged and thrown away, and that's my verse, you know. What a weirdo. But in Revelation, I went to the first thing I did when I got saved, I went to the back of the book to see who wins. And we won. And I thought, well, this is a good deal. This is a good deal. He's told the end from the beginning. Well, Jack, what does that mean to me? That means your past that's been going on in your life, what is this? 26 minutes after the hour? From this moment past, God has been in the middle of it all. Well, I was abused as a child. That broke God's heart, but He was with you. He is with you, and He'll never forsake you, ever. Well, things didn't go the way I wanted. I didn't get that. God was with you to bring you to this place in time. In John 14:29, Jesus says, I've told you these things in advance, so that when they come to pass, you might believe. Isn't that fantastic? That is a character of God, and the characteristic of God, that He knows the future, and He tells us in advance. And our past is wrapped up in God. That's why Paul the Apostle says, no, don't drag around your past. Let it go. It's in God. Leave it alone. Psalm 90, verse 4. Psalm 90, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes, and like a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8, you know this verse. It says, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What is Peter telling us about? That God dwells in eternity. And this year that was is gone from our hands now, people. It's history. It's gone. We're going to look at a few things. There have been painful events in your life this year for some of us, maybe for most of us. In some of our lives, there's been joyful events. But certainly in all of our lives, there's been mixed emotions about this year. It's now past, and we leave it in the hands of God. But here's what we do. We come to this day, and a lot of people are going to go out tonight and party down and do what they do. And they're celebrating, I think, what Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't have a clue of what's going on. Why are they partying? Well, it's the end of the year, man. We're welcoming a new year. Well, I don't want you, if you're going to come and meet me, to get totally intoxicated. It's too gentle of a word. You're ripped. You're fumigated. You come up and you go, oh, nice to meet you. I'd like to welcome you. That's how you welcome a new year? Great start. Spend the first day of the year hugging porcelain? What a waste. When you're going to meet someone or something, man, you want to be able to experience it. The world out there will begin to party, and for what they do not know. You tonight, you tomorrow, can wrap all of your life up in God and leave it with Him and be ready to meet the new year. And for that, people will celebrate, or people will rest, or people will enjoy, or people will rip themselves in this thing that they celebrate. And is it endurance? Oh, we've survived. We're going to celebrate. Isn't that interesting? But I got to tell you, as a Christian, I got to tell you right now that I'm coming to the end of this year and I'm saying in my heart, thank you, God, I made it. Look around you. You made it. You made it through. And we started this year thinking, I don't know. Well, you made it. There's some in the body that have really made it. They're in heaven today. They went to the Lord this year. The point is that regardless of if your year was joyful or your year was painful or your year was mixed like mine, God was in it all. There's this thing about time in our lives. We're constantly running out of time. We're constantly concerned about time. Time is on the move. It doesn't stand still. Albert Einstein and his relativity theory, talking about how light is a constant, which now they think light may not be a constant, began to tell us about how, dependent upon time and where you are in time, determines your view and what you see, what you experience. Time is a bizarre thing. Do you know why we send young people to Bosnia? Young people. You're not going to send some 40-year-old guy to Bosnia. He's too smart to go to Bosnia. You don't listen, you send young people to war. Want to know why? Because they think the other guy's going to get shot. It's true, people. You send a guy to war because he thinks he's not going to get hurt. You ever been a kid? Ever jump off a roof? Jump off a roof now. Oh, no way, man. I have a hard time negotiating the curb. It's like, man, I don't know. Time in the heart of a young person is meaningless to them. You send young people to war because they're reckless. Because in their heart, they feel, they think they're going to live forever. That's why sometimes when we share the Lord with young people, I thank God in the time and age in which we live right now, young people, sad to say, are not young very, very long. By the time they're maybe in their late teens, they're already in their 40s or 50s, and they're burned out on life. But I thank God for that, because now many young people are coming to Christ. They've seen the end, and they want the Lord. But young people, they have this thing in their heart. They're just going to go for it. Some other tricks that time plays on us. Listen to this. The very young, it is understood by child development specialists and psychologists, they tell us, the very young, to them, time is an enemy. It takes forever. Honey, sit right here. I'll be right back. Right back means forever. Just sit right here. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And to a child, 5 minutes ought to be a year. Have you noticed that with a kid? I'll be right back. You were gone 5 minutes. To a child, time is an enemy. They have a hard time going to sleep because they're afraid they're going to miss something. You ever been there? When you're a teenager, time is confusing. It's a confusing time as a teenager. They tell us when you're a young adult, time is just almost infinite. There's the endless summer concept. Oh, life is wonderful. It's exciting as a young adult. I got the world ahead of me. I've got my degree or I've got my schooling and I'm going to do my thing. And time's almost limitless to them. When you're middle-aged adult, they tell us that time is fleeting. Amen. It's gone. The moment you get up, it's gone. You talk to somebody for 5 minutes and you look at your clock and it's an hour's gone by. I'll be right there. You ever hear that? I'll be right there. You said that an hour ago. You can't say anything. Time is fleeting to the middle-aged man or woman. To the senior in age, they tell us that time becomes so precious. Often they look back and they begin to think and say, oh, I wish I would have spent more time with my family, or I would have spent more time with my grandchildren or whatever. Time becomes precious. When you're, they tell us, very old, once again, time becomes an enemy by reason of pain or idleness or sleeplessness because of physical problems or loneliness, going back almost to like the state of a very young child. In Psalm chapter 90, verses 9 through 12, listen to this, serious verses on an end of the year message. For all of our days, Psalm 90 says, have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years at best, and if by reason of strength they might be 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and our time flies away. So teach us, God, to number our days that we may gain a heart toward wisdom. Teach us to number our days. The word number our days and that thought is to take stock and to lay out our days. Don't we need to do that? Sort of. I have, my life is ordered out in minutes almost during the day. Probably like your life. But we have a hard time thinking a year down the road, you know, because we're so caught up with the moment. But listen to this. Teach us to number our days. I don't want to bum you out on this beautiful day, but if you're 25 years old, I don't know if you are in here, but if you're 25 years, and according to Psalm 90, you live to be 70, you have 2,340 weeks left in your life. That's 540 months. If you're 35 years old and you live to be 70, you have 1,800 weeks left in your life. 1,800 weekends. 420 months. If you're 45 years old, you live to be 70, 1,300 weeks you have left. That's 300 months. If you're at the age of 55 right now and live to be the age of 70, you've got 780 weeks left. Oh boy, aren't you encouraged? If you're 65 years of age this morning, you have 260 weeks left, or 60 months. 60 months. Some of you have car payments that are 60 months. And if you're over 70 years of age, you are a living testimony to the enduring grace of God. But listen, according to Billy Graham Evangelical Association, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, and you're 70 or over, there's a likelihood that you will not do so. And those who do, they are in the 3% or less category. If you're 70 years of age or over and you have not received Christ, the likelihood of you coming to Christ is less than 3%. In other words, if you're 70 or over or 70 and under, you need to accept Christ today. That's the point. In other words, time's running out. If you look back over the year and ask yourself a couple of questions, and I want you to do this in your heart right now, listen. I want you to ask this question. Have I grown as a Christian this year? Your testing ground for that is, have you hit your thumb with a hammer? Go ahead and put your thumb out there on the ground today and hit your thumb with a hammer. And if your words have changed in this last year than what they were the year before, you've grown as a Christian. I saw somebody last week terribly, terribly, terribly cut themselves. And normally there would have been, what the? You know, beep, 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 beep. And it was just a quiet ouch. And it was over. One of the greatest tests is to slam your finger in the door and find out, Lord, God Almighty. Hallelujah, Jesus, praise the Lord. Remember what we used to say? Have you grown as a Christian this year? Don't be discouraged if you haven't, by the way. You probably have and you don't know it. Really, seriously. I know this for a fact. If you've been taking in the Word of God, your life is changing. You may not see it because the forest and the trees, you're too close. But it's happening. Don't worry. Second question, has my life been used by God this year? Over the past year, have we capitalized and been used by God on the opportunities in our lives? Has God used you this year? Oh, I don't think so. Don't say that so quickly. I bet He has. I haven't said anything to anybody, Jack. People are watching you, though. I mean, at the very least, you can put a Christian sticker on your car. And they will assume that the guy behind the wheel is a Christian. It's not always the case, but... has God used you this year? What changes have taken place in me this year and in you? Attitudes, understandings, perceptions of things. Isn't it wonderful when a person comes to Christ, they wind up getting really wise? They may be smart or not smart. That's not the issue. They just become wise. They begin to see the world correctly. Time is constantly moving on. And as we look back over the past, what's happened in our lives on this year's end? Second thing I want you to see is the importance of time that is now. The importance of time that is now. In Genesis 1:14, God says, there will be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and it will be dividing the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and days and for years. When God created the world, He wound it up like a clock, and that clock is running out. And eventually people, and we know this in the law of physics, the clock has been wound up, the clock is running down, there will be a day when the alarm will go off. It's constantly ticking down. We know this scientifically. Light is slowing down, we think. There's reasons to believe that now. The rotations of the heavenly bodies are slowing down. Everything in the observable universe is going from an excellent, ordered state to a chaotic, dismantling state. It's a fact of science. Why? God wound a clock up one day, and He began time. There was no time until God created the physical realm. And it is here on earth, in all of His creation, throughout the universes, God's work. But it's interesting to me that time now is a time that we can also look at it as a time of renewal. Look, some of you are going to hear, if you haven't already, what's your New Year's resolution? Save yourself grief. Don't make one. I had a precious gal in my office recently say, I promised God that I was going and I didn't. And I said, look, first mistake, never promise God a thing. You have no power to perform it. Don't promise Him anything. Say, God, if it be Your will, I'd love to serve You with all my heart this year. Please do it in my life. But I am not going to promise You a thing because of what I speak to You, I will not be able to perform without Your touch. God wants to cause this year that comes to an end and the year that starts to be a sense of renewal in our lives. Isn't that strange? You get up every day. Isn't it weird? When you go to bed at night, it's almost like you're going to death. You lie there like you're dead. You rest. You wake up. It's a brand new day. Have you noticed when you've got a horrendous problem on Monday and you go to bed and you wake up Tuesday, it's not as big? Have you noticed that? Isn't it weird? You might say, Jack, you ought to come work with me for a while. It grows during the night. No. There are new mercies every morning, God says. Isn't that neat? There's a renewal. There's a renewal in months and in seasons. Have you noticed? I hope you've noticed this. Depending upon where you live, but every time the seasons change, God is telling us something. And where we live... in the mornings and in the evenings at this time of the year, and it will be that way until spring, the geese come in and out every day. And just recently, Rebecca and I were coming down Grand Avenue here, and there must have been 100 or 200 geese coming in to land in the morning to feed in the fields over here. And it's great because there's honk, 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 honk. You know, as I pull over, move, scoot, honk, honk, they're honking. And those Canadian honkers, it's great. And they're coming in to land. And that's a testimony of the seasons changing. And if you can hear them honk, they're saying, time's running out. It's getting late. Choose Christ. Another season's going by. You need to get ready. The seasons are changing. God says in Genesis 1:14, I've made it to be that way. At New Year's, we experience the strange renewal of hope. The past, we've survived it. The present is focused on what might come to pass. And the future is unwritten. We can kind of call our shot, so to speak. Isn't that a scary thought? This year to come, you can make of it what God wants in your life if you'll yield to Him. Isn't that a radical thought? Well, I hope this year's good. Well, listen, we'll talk about this tonight also, and that is the fact that God has crowned the year with goodness. In Psalm 65. We should be experiencing this renewal of hope constantly as Christians, continually. We've survived the past. God's with us right now. The future is full of opportunities. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I like that. Do we believe right now that God can use us and wants to use us? Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and will carry out great exploits. Isn't that great? Do you know God that way? We stand at the threshold of a year that has not yet been written. Time magazine and Newsweek haven't had a chance to destroy it yet. And you and I are standing there and we're saying, God, I want to do great exploits for you. I want to dare you in the Lord this morning to ask that prayer. Well, I'm not worthy. Throw all that garbage out the window now. Are you a Christian this morning? You ask Him today, God, at the threshold of this new year, I'm asking you to cause me, through you, to do great exploits. Watch what happens. You might want to look inside and ask this question or two. Am I willing to yield myself completely to God this year? Letting Him take control of my life and all that I want and all that I think and all that I'll do? God wants to do that. God wants to do a tremendous thing. Billy Graham said, maybe you ought to check it out, U.S. News and World Report, December 31st edition, today. Billy Graham says on the 25th prediction of U.S. News and World Report, number 25 is from Billy Graham. And Billy Graham says that he believes that the United States, beginning, and he says it already has begun, will experience a great spiritual awakening, and he believes millions of people will turn to the Bible and come to faith in Christ. He says he's already seen signs of that happening. Are you going to be ready for that? Wouldn't that be great? What happens if this part of the Western Inland Empire gets... What happens if we see 100,000 people get converted? That's not impossible, you know. Where are they going to go? For teaching and for feeding and for fellowship. That's a radical thing. I like that kind of thought. Billy Graham's thinking a great exploit. The second thing I want you to consider in this question about right here and right now is, what are you doing now to position yourself for growth? I mean, you're here, yes, but time's running out. What are we doing? You want to be in fellowship. You want to be in the Word. You want to be going on with the Lord. The time is running out. And I want to warn you about this, guys. Listen, no doubt about it, this year will bring interruptions. You are going to be tempted to put God off this year. Well, I can't go to Sundays. We've got football. I can't go to Sundays. We've got basketball. I can't go to Sundays. We've got lawns to mow. It will come. What are you going to do with it? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and your lawn will be mowed. Make a decision now to follow Christ here, now. Follow Him. But be careful. Excuses are going to come. It's a serious thing. The Rose Parade right now, it's crazy. You know, getting all the prepared for that and all that. And listen to this. I've been watching the news like you have regarding the Rose Parade. Hundreds of thousands of hours have been spent. Hundreds, and they said, or thousands of hours have been spent. Pouring their lives and their money and their time into these floats. And I think it's a perfect example about time. They are rushing for a moment that's going to happen tomorrow. They're rushing to a moment. In a matter of hours, it will be gone. Rushing to a future moment, waiting for the event to happen, remembering that it will only be just for a day, just for an hour, and then it will be history. Isn't that a crack up? That's just how time is. Let's hurry up and get there. We're here. Where is it? It's gone. I thought we were here. We were. But the moment we got here, it left. That's man, isn't it? That's mankind. Well, consider his story, God's, his power. He's viewing the parade, not from a street corner, but from above, all things at once. He's eternal. There's no time where he's at. And this is theologically correct. Check this out. Where God is now, he's seeing Hitler invading Poland right now. That's theologically correct. He is seeing Noah building the ark, and he's seeing the rapture of the church where he's at right now. Isn't that weird? He lives in what's called the eternal now. All things are happening instantaneously before God where he lives. Isn't that a trip? What's going to happen tomorrow, Jack? I don't know. Ask God. What will be the end of my life? Ask God. Will I make it to heaven? Ask him. Oh God, what's to be the end of these things? Ask him. I'm declaring to you, he says, the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Isn't that wonderful to know? What happens to you today, tomorrow, forever, God has ordained and he's in? That gives us a sense of endurance. I can make it if I know that. The third and final thing is this, and we'll wrap it up this morning. The importance of time that is to come. We look ahead. And that's going to bring us a sense of assurance. We are going to make it. In Lamentations 3, the Bible says this, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I like that. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope, because of what I'm thinking about. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. And they're new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and says my soul, therefore I hope in him. That's an opportunity that's available for you tomorrow and today. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That verse is for tomorrow and for today and forever. Listen to this. Concerning the now, Revelation 1:4 says, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Isn't that neat? Grace and peace to you. Concerning the past, Revelation 1:8 says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, who was, who is to come. Wow. Well, concerning the future, Revelation 4:8 says, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. In other words, God has got your life, our past, present, and future wrapped up, put in parentheses, and those parentheses are the incredible hands of God, and you're in the middle of it all. And that's a comforting thought, and I love that. Will you survive the year to come? The choice is yours now. And I want to say this. The danger, as time is fleeting, according to statistics, raise your hand if you've been a Christian for over 5 years. Raise your hand. The bulk of this church. You guys are in a dangerous spot, including myself. Do you know what statistics show us? That as time goes away, and it is passing, truly the words of Jesus begin to come to pass in Matthew 13, where he says, these are they who believe for a while. But the cares of the world and the trials and tribulations of life steal out the word, and they fall away. You've been a believer for 5 years? I want to encourage you to be a believer still. Because the tendency will be self-justification, no longer to be committed. God, I've done my time. I've heard this, you guys, in my office. I've done my time with the Lord. I'm on autopilot now. I can do what I want. I've earned my stripes. That is spiritual suicide. And the probability in the church here is that some people who've served the Lord, walked with the Lord, gave glory and honor to the Lord, will this year or in the near years to come put it on autopilot. I'll just cruise with God from now on and not really do my thing and serve the body. Listen, Paul the Apostle says, be spent. The word in the Greek is be spent to the point of exhaustion. And we are to be doing that to the day Christ comes or he takes us home. But we get this, you know, West Palm Beach, Newport Beach, Corona Del Mar mentality where it's just time to sit back and put our feet in the sand. And that's a dangerous thing as believers. We're not home yet, if you haven't noticed. And it isn't neat to know that 1995 is gone and we're 1 year closer to the return of Jesus if you believe he's coming back or not? It doesn't matter. I don't believe he's coming. Well, tough. It's the end of 95. He's 1 year closer. Well, I don't think he's going to come for a while. So what? We're 1 year closer. He didn't come this year. I'm bummed, but some of you who got saved are pretty glad. Real quick, we'll end this. Jesus warned us about time and it running out. Jesus says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him in an hour that he's not aware of. And he'll be taken away. Caught off guard, caught unaware. Time passed him by. Jesus warned us in Matthew 25. He warned us about investing our time wisely because it's running out. Jesus said, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And he said, go and invest. And I'll come back at a time that you don't think. Time will be running out. And when that time runs out, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take account of your life and my life. People, you realize this, all of us who are believers, this morning there's going to come a time when we'll stand before the judgment seat of Jesus, 1 Corinthians talks about. We're going to give an account for how we invested our lives. And Jesus said he's given each of us some abilities, some more abilities, some great abilities. And did we bury them in the ground and sit on them and wait for time to pass? Or did we take that risk and step out and say, God, use me, use it, use whatever. And it's a tremendous thing because that parable suggests that a Christian will wind up using his life and a non-believer who's been given talents and doesn't invest in the Lord will squander that and lose terribly in the end. And that's something that we have to remember. Jesus warned us about investing. Jesus called us to be wise in John chapter 9. What time remains. We are to be good stewards over it. Jesus said in John 9, as it is day, we must work and do the work of him who sent me. But night is coming when no man can work. We come to the end of the year. Oh, look. Time is up. We're out of time. What if Jesus Christ would have come back just then? Are you ready? Some of you just woke up just now and you wonder, what's been going on? What's happened? You've been left behind. The rapture has just taken place and you're left. No, I'm fine. No. This is a bad dream. Listen, what if the Lord would have come back in that moment? Are you ready? You invest in your life in him, time is running out. I looked up deadline. I'm into dictionaries right now, as you can tell. The last couple messages have had a lot of things. I'm just kind of into them right now. Deadline. The word deadline. I was shocked to see what the dictionary said. Deadline. A boundary line within a prison that prisoners cannot cross without being fatally wounded. A deadline. That's where it came from. A time limit that is set for payment of a debt or the completion of an assignment. A moment that arrives when there is no longer any more time remaining. Deadline. Jesus Christ is coming back and 1996 could be the year. Are you ready? And then you can close your Bibles and think about this. Have you ever been in an accident? I'm not talking about bumping somebody's fender. I'm talking about a good accident. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. Have you ever been in a crisis that's large enough for this event to take place? And I have a theory. It may be bogus, but I don't think so. Have you noticed when you are in a life-threatening situation? I've been in two. One, I was crashing an airplane, and the other one, we were in a car accident. And I didn't crash the airplane. The engine turned on and we made it. Glory be to the Lord. But I remember everything, listen, have you been there? Everything began to slow down in the real time. We were broadsided on Beach Boulevard. The car was coming. You could see it. The moment we realized, and you know what I'm talking about if you've been in a crisis, the moment we realized that that 65 Bonneville was not going to stop, and we looked at that car coming, it took in what seemed to be an hour for that car to get there. You know what I'm saying? And your brain is going 100 miles an hour, but you're seeing the car come. The car hits. The glass is flying. You know what I'm saying? The metal is moving. The sound is going through a slow, almost processor. You can hear metal crunching. And all the while, you're thinking quick. Oh, look, oh my. Oh, ah. Oh, the car is spinning. You go over and hit the telephone, the street light. It comes to a close. It's over. And all of a sudden, time goes back to normality, and you're looking around. Are you okay? Are you all right? Are you okay? And all of a sudden, people are talking, and people are coming. You ever been there? I want to ask the question, why does time seem to stop where I'm at on the inside at the moment of a crisis, but it's going on normal speed outside of the world, but my event that's a crisis, it slows down? I believe it's the mercy of God regarding time. If you're not ready to meet Christ and you're experiencing that thing going on, I have found that it's extremely interesting that I can call upon the name of the Lord in that instant. Oh, Jesus, save me! That's all it takes. That's why the event, I believe, is taking place so slowly in my processing. But my brain is working overtime. I believe it's God's grace. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Because time is running out. And our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And the Bible says that there's a time coming that salvation will not be yours to accept or to reject. Time will run out. Paul the Apostle said, "In an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now, today, is the day of salvation." Is time a friend or a foe? Depends on your decision that you make. And you and I are solely responsible. Let's pray. Father, your Bible says, you spoke through Jeremiah and you said, through Jeremiah, the harvest is past and the summer has ended and we're not saved. And Father, right now for the non-Christian, that is the person who has never publicly given their life to you, Jesus, you ask them, you demand of them that they would publicly give testimony. Now, it may be at this moment for them to raise a hand. It may be that they've already done that by telling someone they're a Christian. And that's great. But Father, this morning, regarding those who don't know you, you out there, as we're praying, that alarm went off, caught you off guard perhaps. Are you ready to meet the Lord in that instant? Can you imagine? Are you ready now to meet Him? If you're not ready and you do not have the hope of eternal life, would you slip your hand up wherever we're at right now, wherever you're at? People are not looking at you. I'm looking at you now. And you will publicly be attesting to the fact that you're receiving Christ as Savior right now. Anybody in this room this morning, you'd like to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, God bless you. Those of you who are raising your hands, and isn't it awesome that time has not run out on you? God bless you. Anyone else would like to receive Christ this morning? You're saying, Jesus, man, I'm giving my life to you. I am grateful that time hasn't run out for me. Now, those of you who are Christians this morning, you today, on this year's end, would like not to make God a promise, but would like to tell Him in your heart that you give yourself completely to Him this year to come, to do what He pleases. If I'm talking to the believers this morning. If you'd like to, now some of you have totally given yourselves to Christ, and that's fantastic, and you won't need to respond in this area. God is using you, you're a Christian, God's working through you, and you don't need to do this. This may be for one or two here. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you who are believers, You want to give your life fully to Him. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, but now you want to give all of you, all of yourself to Him. Why don't you raise your hand today? All over the place. Put your hand up high. Repeat this prayer after me. These are those believers now. Lord God, I give you my life. I dedicate myself to you this year. I yield my will to you. You use me the way you want to. I am absolutely yours. Jesus, I die today. And you live through me now. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.